The scripture we ponder so that we may ever sing alleluia, and that in all of our grief and bewilderment, we may still sing alleluia. The scripture is the gospel we just heard. The kids and I were acting out in a way. John chapter 16, those of you who've ever given birth to a baby will especially love this one. This is such good news. Jesus talks about a mom giving birth. And then he says at the end these fascinating words. He says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be filled. Your joy will be complete, we usually translate. You get it? So empty and yet so full. How can that be? This is God's word. Grace and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it with me, would you? Amen. Let's start with babies. We're overhearing Jesus talking to some men. So let's say you're overhearing. You're in the maternity ward of the hospital, and you overhear the screams of a baby right after the baby's born. And you don't have any business in that room. You wouldn't dare go in there. But if you could, you might say to the little baby, don't scream. You don't really understand what's good for you. I know it's really different now to be out, and it's not so warm and it's not so dark, but this, your mom and dad love you. There's a great doctor here. This is good. You don't understand. This is good for you. Right? Or let's make it that child's third birthday. And he or she has now been told you can no longer have your pacifier. And you again, you overhear the conversation. You're just watching. And the child is looking up to the refrigerator saying, can't I just look at it up there on the top of the fridge? And you would say if you could, no, it's good. It's better. You don't understand what's good for you. Right? Or you overhear the desperate conversation between the alcoholic and the friends and family who love him or her. And they're trying to tell him or her, you're hurting yourself. Don't you understand it? You don't really know what's good for you. Yes, your body craves, but... Or one more example. Now we'll overhear a conversation in the memory unit of the skilled nursing facility where the person who used to be so competent and could take care of so many things at the same time now needs the help with the simplest tasks. And again, we might hug that person and say, it's okay. I know you don't understand, but they know what's good. These are really great nurses here. You don't really know what's good for you. You would buy all of those, wouldn't you? What if God told you right now, you're not a tiny baby, if you can make out my words. There's a couple 3-year-olds here. But you're not an alcoholic. You're not someone who is so in need of help that you're in a skilled facility right now. You're here. So what if someone told you? What if God told you, you know, you really don't know what's good for you? Really? That is one way to describe what it means to be a sinner. Right? Jesus shows it in this very chapter of John's Gospel. Don't think of it as a chapter. Think of it as an event. Jesus is taking his disciples out to the garden, and before they get there, are we in Jerusalem still? Are we on the slopes of Jerusalem? In any case, he has told them, it's good for you that I leave. And they're thinking, I don't get it. Why is he leaving? What's he mean he's going to the Father? What about the Spirit? He says another helper is coming. We want him to stay. They're full of confusion and grief, and so Jesus just slows down. Like you might if you were holding a little baby or talking to a little person, a 2 or 3-year-old, and he uses the simplest, gentlest words he can. And he wants to do the same with you today. Does death just scare you? Does grief, what has happened lately that's just bewildered you? You ever wonder about heaven? Any of that? Then this is such good news. This is Jesus who's been to heaven after he died for you, telling you in advance how he felt about going. He looked at these men and said, "In a little while, you will see me no more." Doesn't that sound like talking to the smallest child? Just a little while. You will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me. Don't worry about anything else. In a little while, you'll see me no more. And then in a little while, you'll see me. Guys, you don't understand. I know, but just... can you perceive what I perceive? This man, Jesus, he perceives everything that's coming with perfect clarity, and he believes that his Father will raise him from the dead. And so he has received all the honor and glory that there ever can be right now at the Father's right. And this is our great hope. Jesus' disciples didn't get it. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more,' and then 'After a little while you will see me'? And because I'm going to the Father," they kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying." They didn't have a category for a crucified king. They didn't know about what you know. You can see it all now, can't you? He dies, he rises. 40 days later, he ascends in great triumph to the Father's right, but he is coming back. In the meantime, he has sent us his Holy Spirit only 10 days later in dramatic form the first time and ever since through his word and his supper. And it's such joy, but they don't see it. They kept asking, "What does he mean?" Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. Jesus knows what they're thinking. You better hang on to that one, right? I should first. God knows what we're thinking. He knows every little last fear. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Is that's your question? I tell you the truth." This is as emphatic as he can say things. This is so sure. "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. We grieve. You have wept at a funeral." Jesus lived in a culture where it was way more out and loud than typically among us. He's talking about his own death, and "You will sob and you will wail," he says, and more. You will grieve. The world's going to rejoice. "I'm going to die and the whole world's going to say, 'Yeah.'" That this system of all being opposed to God, which God so loved, how? That he gave his Son. The world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Well, Jesus, you mean that after we have some time of sorrow in this world, then things will get better. And Jesus says, "You should listen again to what I said." He told these men, "Your grief will turn to joy. The very thing which is causing you such sorrow, right?" And they didn't get it. So then he talks about what all of us have gone through and what our moms, and of course, again, Jesus is talking to people in a culture 2,000 years ago where there were no epidurals, where there's no hospitals and all the pain medication and other things we have today, where moms would much more commonly die in childbirth than happens among us. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is brought into the world. The very thing that hurts so bad is so good. So with you. "Now is your time of grief," he says, "but I will see you again." I thought it was, "You will see me." "I will see you again. You won't see a projection of me. You won't see a fictitious you thought you saw me, but you didn't see me kind of thing. It won't be people telling you about me or you seeing me in your mind's eye or any. I will make sure it happens. I will see you again. I will rise from a borrowed grave. I'll go right through solid rock. He doesn't give them all the details because they just need the simple facts. So do we. I will see you again. And you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. And we might say, but Jesus, these men, they're going to suffer a lot for you. Some of them will die for you. Maybe all of them died for you. We all go through so many sorrows in this world, Jesus. And he says, yeah, but what I'm telling you, as soon as I rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, send my Holy Spirit, then I could come at any moment, and my Spirit's job is to give you joy, is to put my word in you and fill you with me, and who could take away what my Spirit is going to give? I'm going to give you myself. Eventually, the Holy Spirit himself will bring you to me face to face again. And so Jesus can say the whole package, the whole era ever since the Spirit comes, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. They had been asking, all right. If we had time, we'd go into detail here, but just quickly, what had they been asking even this night? Peter, you're going to wash my feet? Thomas, First John, Lord, who is it? Who's going to betray you? Thomas, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the other one. But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And well, they were the students and he was the teacher and they had all sorts of questions. Jesus said, not anymore, you won't. Again, not that we don't have 1,000 questions, but the stuff we really need to know. Nothing to ask anymore. We've got God's full written word. We've got God's Holy Spirit to teach us his word, to fill us with it. You, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. You really haven't understood who I am. You don't even know what's going to happen later tonight. They're going to come and grab me. I'm going to willingly die. You guys won't see me anymore. The reason you won't see me anymore is you're going to run away from me. And you won't be there when I die. Only John, the man who wrote this down. But I'll see you. That is such good news. Ask, he says, and you will receive, and your joy will be filled. Your joy will be complete. This Jesus, who perfectly in your place perceives what the Father wants and believes that the Father will raise him from the dead and answer every prayer in his name as he ascends on high, and who therefore receives the kind of confidence and joy we could only dream of in the face of what's coming. He wants to give that to you too. By his holy life for you and his innocent death. Do you perceive? You perceive his carefulness, his thoroughness of what he knows about you. Every thought you think. Not just the thoughts that might give us pause, that I'm glad they don't put up on a screen so that everybody can read my heart, my lustful thoughts or my greedy thoughts, but here, the main sin that God's exposing is our fear, isn't it? Jesus tells us clear stuff. His apostles, his prophets say, here is the deal, and we don't even get it. My obtuseness, my fearfulness, my unwillingness to want to do what God says. And Jesus says, I forgive you. Do you perceive his tenderness here? I will see you again. You will have such joy. It's going to be like a mom with a baby. Do you perceive his willingness to go to the cross? No one's forcing this on him. And his hopefulness, his Father will raise him. And this is so wonderful, isn't it? We should read that last verse again. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. You 11 men, you haven't really understood what this is about. But once I die and rise and reign and my Spirit He's always been reigning, but he takes the full authority of his reign again. And the Spirit comes, he says, then you'll know what my name, you'll know who I really am. You'll know what Jesus really spells out. The Lord saves. And then you'll ask. Ask, and you will receive. Do you perceive how cold sometimes your prayers are, or how infrequent they are? Jesus wants to invite you again today to pray to him. Your joy, in the end, he says, will be complete. He doesn't mean that every time you pray, you'll just be filled with what Paul calls an inexpressible and glorious joy. And yet, we're overhearing Jesus. Maybe we should overhear someone else besides the little baby or the three-year-old or the person at the assisted living facility. How about the author C.S. Lewis? He was not a pastor, but overhear him preaching. This English professor in 1942, who got famous for his novels. Ever seen a Chronicles of Narnia movie? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? He was preaching one day, C.S. Lewis, in a church in Oxford, England. And he said in part, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. That's got to be in my top 10 list of the most profound things I think I've ever read. We are far too easily pleased, at least things that aren't in the Bible. We are far too easily pleased. Jesus is promising you endless joy. So give. So pray. So trust. So tell. So whatever he puts in front of you to do in his name, whatever he commands you to do, ask. And you will receive, and your joy will be complete. My favorite story about that, which again was never, I don't think it was designed at first to reflect Christianity, even it comes from China, but I just think it's the most helpful story. Because you don't really know what's good for you. Jesus is telling you today again, and he's not scolding you when he says that, he's inviting you. You're a sinner, but I died for you. The world may not perceive how valuable this is, but I want you to. I don't want you to miss anything in your life that seems so bad. So, your grief is going to turn to joy. On that note, the Chinese farmer. Do you know the one about the Chinese farmer who lived in the mountains? He had the greatest horse to work the farm. And the villagers around him used to say, "You have the most wonderful horse." And he'd say, "You do not know. You speak too soon. We do not know what is good or bad." And then one day the horse ran away and all the villagers were aghast and they told him, "Oh, this is so terrible. Your horse has run away." And the Chinese farmer said, "We don't know what's good for us. You speak too soon." Sure enough, a couple days later, not only did his horse return, but two other horses, and one was a mare, one was the most fantastic stallion anyone in the village had ever seen. Very powerful animal, which led the farmer's son to try to break the horse. But, well, before he tried it, the villagers were all saying, you know what they were saying. Oh, they said, "This is wonderful. You have three horses." And the farmer said, "You speak too soon. We do not know what is good for us." Sure enough, the farmer's son gets on the stallion and he is thrown. And he breaks his leg, and the village is aghast again. "Oh, this is awful." And the farmer said, "We do not know what is good for us. You speak too soon." Which was proven, we'll give one last example. When the emperor's army came through and conscripted every able-bodied man in the village, all the young men, except for one, you know which one. The one with the broken leg, who didn't go off to his death to fight the enemy at the battle line. Isn't that something? Why so many sorrows now? I can't tell you. I can tell you that as sure as you came out of your mother's womb, perceive and believe and receive the goodness of the God who will tell you today, you don't know what's good for you, but I do. You don't know necessarily why it's good for you to be afflicted or why it's good for you to read my word or come to my table. Why it's good to pray. It doesn't seem to be doing any good. My prayers aren't getting anywhere, Jesus. And he says, ask. And you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Your joy will be filled. It'll be God filling it. It won't be you. Believe. Especially those of you who are coming up here. Perceive and believe, as sure as Jesus lives, and receive forgiveness of all your sins and eternal life with all who have gone before us. Do you believe? Jesus says he's going to see you again. And they already see him. I believe. Amen.